Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're going to test out the sound doing it this way this morning. I want to thank Branson for doing our sound for us, and I want to thank all the men that helped in our service so far today, and Cecilia, who did some of the decorating, and all the people that worked behind the scenes so this church can meet. What a blessing to be here, isn't it? And it's a blessing to be with you. You know, this has been a great week, but a tough week. And I'm just glad all the best-looking ones are here this morning. I wanted to bring you up to date on Iva Hoffman, who sits right there in the matriarch chair normally. But she made an unscheduled trip to the hospital, and she is back at our home, and we have set up a bedroom with a little vignette of her house. I don't think we got just exactly everything that she wanted, but we're making additional trips to make all that happen. And she's doing good. She's wearing her makeup, and she's looking forward to seeing you. And she just said, let him know I miss him so much. The sudden passing of Dan Love was a real impact and shock to our whole congregation. And I was touched by what Christy had to say, and that is that they had committed together to be here, and she was going to be here this morning because that glorifies God. So thank you for that and being an example for all of us. This morning, I want to talk about leaving the past behind. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Leaving your baggage behind. Now, if you've ever done that, you've been in serious trouble, right? But being a Christian means more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow and become more like Christ. Not just an instant, but a process. And sometimes we get impatient with ourselves, but God isn't finished with us yet. The promise is this, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But you know what? Those old things have a bad reputation for showing back up on your front porch again. The worries, the troubles, the issues, we're not immune from those as the children of God. But in dealing with them, we have peace and we have hope and we have His promise and we have His Spirit. How fortunate we are that God has given us His Son, His Spirit, the church, and the Word. He's just about done it all for us. We need to be faithful. That's our job. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. And remember what it said about the yoke? Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But sometimes the burdens we want to carry are very, very heavy and far too heavy for us. And to put those burdens down, we have to give up control. Let me let you in on a little secret. We never had control. We took it, but we never had it. And see, we can rest easy because we have a Savior who loves us and only does the best for us. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you flown lately? Have you taken a flight? And how'd you pack? The airlines have constricted space and additional bag fees and weight fees. And those overhead compartments where people used to put things that were heavy as lead that sometimes fall out and hit somebody, Those are full before the last rows are loaded. So you can have a little bag around your knees someplace where your feet are, and you can check a bag if you want to pay, generally. And so we have to be really careful about what we pack and what we don't pack. And if all of us feel like, I don't want to get there without my fill in the blank. You got to have that. And along with that, you might want to have something to entertain you. Most people want electronics because they don't want to remember that they're in a spherical shaped tube flying at 300 miles an hour at 30,000 feet. They just soon not think about that. So we've got burdens. We got some baggage that we need not check. We don't have to run this past TSA. We just need to lay it on the altar of God in prayer and let Him handle it. You remember when Jesus sent out His disciples two by two, what He told them to pack with them? It wasn't the top 10 essentials. It was they should take nothing for their journey except a staff only. No bread, no wallet, no money in their purse, but to wear sandals and not to put on two coats, two tunics. That's the message that we have here. We have Jesus. We have His Word. And so, through the power of God, what we need to do is to deal with that pile of baggage. That's our job. And the Scripture tells us that if through the power of the Holy Spirit we are putting off the deeds of the body, then we will live. So, this is what is on our job list for today. So there's a lot of things that can damage our walk with Christ if we carry Him with us. Worry, wrong priorities, anger, regret, guilt, wrong relationships, lack of forgiveness, hurts. The first burden and our baggage is a burden. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life? Matthew 6:27. We can't improve our life by worry, but what we can do is make it more difficult in stress or worry. And the antidote is when we pray and give the issue to God, He carries it. He carries it. You see, I think in the end, when we see Jesus face to face, He's going to say to us, why did you make it so difficult? Why did you make it so hard? It didn't have to be this way. I just asked for a simple trusting faith and to put all your weight down on me. There was a woman who was a grandma, and she was scared to death to fly. And her grandson was struggling across the country to finish high school. And so one day she made him a rash promise. And she said, you know what? If you graduate, I'll fly out to participate in your graduation. Well, they all knew she was scared. So when she landed, she looked a little white around the gills. And he said, the grandson said, Grandma, how'd you do? She said, I made it. But she said, I tell you a secret, though. She said, I didn't put all my weight down. We need to put our weight down on Christ, don't we? Because He can carry it. What we're not built to carry, He can carry. Now, there's a lot of reasons why worry is counterproductive. It wastes time that could be spent in better ways. It focuses on the problem. It does not focus on the solution. It causes us to assume responsibility that belongs to God, and it paralyzes us sometimes with fear. It drains our energy. It keeps us sidetracked when we could or should be doing God's will, and it creates stress and potential health issues. Philippians 4 and 6 says, this, don't be anxious about anything. Anything. Let's talk about stress for a few minutes. This truly is the age of stress. I want to share a couple of thoughts with you on that that I had over the time. Hope in the age of anxiety. This age is time's page. Our diagnosis of psychosis, higher stress, bigger mess, life's hollow, pills swallow, heartache, hands shake, we fear, eyes tear, chasing wealth, poorer health, broken homes, heart roams, faster speed, greater need, schedule full, greater pull, spirit calls to empty halls, healing free, God's comfort touches me. There is no alternative. God can handle it, and He wants to handle it. One writer called worry a thin stream of fear running through the mind. Another said that worry is anxiety over the future that dominates the present. Difficult situations can cause it, so how do we handle it? God is our ever-present strength and refuge, ever-present help in trouble, Psalms 46, verse 1. Our circumstance is something we shouldn't watch to the exclusion of keeping our eye on what God can do. Sometimes it's overwhelming and we can't deal with it. I want to tell you a short story about Watchman Nee. He was a Chinese pastor and theologian and author. He was born in 1903 and he was martyred at the age of 69. And you may not agree with all of his theology, but you will be encouraged by his faith. He spent the next 20 years after he was imprisoned in this camp. Although he was offered release if he would leave the country, he refused to do so. And his assignment within the prison was to clean the sewage area, the pump. At first, he hated this dreaded assignment. Nobody wanted it. The stench was so overpowering, he must have felt physically ill. But as he got used to it, he adapted. And the good news was that it was an opportunity to be alone where he could praise his God out loud. Even the guard didn't want to get too close. So he began to call it his garden, and he would sing the hymn, "I Come to the Garden Alone," while he worked. Can you just imagine him singing these words, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own," in the middle of this dreadful setting? Peace in the midst of torment, joy in the midst of pain. The setting, the circumstance really doesn't matter. Ask yourself this question. Is anything too difficult for God, even your circumstance? I believe that the answer is no, because that's the kind of God that we have. Let's talk about another one, another package. We're only going to open a couple of packages this morning, and that is unhappiness. Don't make other people responsible for your happiness. It is a decision that you make in whatever circumstances that you're in. Just as simple and sure as possible. Sometimes we see people that are always happy and bubbly, and we go, that person never has any troubles, not like me. But they've just simply chosen to be a happy person. Number two, do not make your spouse responsible for what only God can do. Part of that is making you happy, you know? And sometimes later in a marriage, a partner who really leaned on the partner for what only God could provide, really finds God in a dramatic way, and what a difference it makes. So, and don't make your happiness conditional. If I only had that, if I was only with him or her, those kinds of things, God knows the situation you're in, and he will provide what you need. Dennis Woolley, was the author of a book called Are You Happy? And he reports that expert opinion and surveys show that only about 20% of the people in our country describe themselves as happy. Happiness is not found in money. Jay Gould was an American multimillionaire, and he said at the end of his life, I suppose of all men, I am the most miserable. It isn't found in power or honor either. The Caliph Abdul Rahman was quoted in Gibbon in The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire as saying these words, I have now reigned for 50 years in victory or peace, beloved by my subjects, dreaded by my enemies, respected by my allies, riches and pleasure and honors and power have awaited my call, nor does any earthly blessing appear to have been wanting. In this situation, I have diligently numbered the number of days of pure and genuine happiness which have fallen to my lot, and they amount to 14 out of 50 years of having it his way. So obviously that doesn't produce happiness. 1 Corinthians 7:31 tells us this. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. For example, we're so used to having so much stuff, our stuff can trip us up. Now, I dare say, I don't want to speak for you, but you just might have an attic or a garage or a storage room that is loaded with stuff, and when you look in it, you just shake your head and go, wow, how did that all happen? How am I going to get rid of it? And sometimes we don't. We stick it on our kids when they inherit, and they go, I've never seen this stuff. I'm not sure I even want it. A little girl who is supported through the Christian Relief Fund, great, great program I would encourage you to get involved in, wrote this letter. Her name is Brenda. She's 14. She's from Kenya. Here are her words. Thanks for the great gift, the great love you have in me. I have seen through my birthday gift you gave. I love you. This is the first gift I've ever received in my life. Stuff. We have so much. Others have great need. We're surrounded by our things. And the scriptures tell us that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions, not the quality of his life, not the meaning of his life. That all comes from our Savior. Again, Jeremiah 32:26, make it your verse. God says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? We know the answer. Memorize it. And by the way, if you are not able to laugh, that's a pretty good sign you're pretty well stressed. So I'm going to share a couple of bulletin bloopers, not from the Eugene Church of Christ. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. How about that? Barbara remains in the hospital and is having trouble sleeping. She requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. Let us join David and Lisa in the celebration of their wedding and bring their happiness to a conclusion. The concert was held in the fellowship hall and was a great success. Special thanks are due to the minister's daughter who labored the whole evening at the piano, which, as usual, fell on her. Don't you hate that? The audience is asked to remain seated until the end of the recession. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. And finally, the third verse of Blessed Assurance will be sung without musical accompaniment. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, and that in order that they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Colossians 2 and 9, in him we are complete. Make it your goal not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. That is the antidote, to give it to God. One more quick story, and that is about General Robert E. Lee. In the book, The Last Years, tells of a time after the Civil War when he visited a woman who showed him the remains of a grand old tree in front of her home. And there she cried bitterly that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by Union artillery fire. She expected Lee to condemn the North or at least sympathize with her loss. He paused, the great man paused, and then said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." You know, there's a time for that in life, isn't there? Especially if that's what holds us back. So our walk with Christ takes a lifetime. And remember this, that whatever lies before us is not greater than what lies within us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he can do marvelous things, and he can deal with worries, he can deal with issues of all kinds. He can deal with everybody's problem, but sometimes we feel, I'm not sure about mine. Believe me, he can deal with them. Philippians 3, 13 through 15, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need a daily focus. We need a life focus, one that is greater than anything else. Oh, we can do other things, and we will. But that one purpose, that we move that purpose ahead every day, that we bathe in prayer with Jesus Christ, and that we try to have a discussion with him all day long, where when things come up, we bring them right to him. Great things and small things. He wants to hear from you. Because he can really heal you, strengthen you, encourage you, and save you. What a Savior we have. And he wants you to be okay because you're his. Allow yourself to be his, not necessarily yours. Because he is what we are not. He is what we need. He provides strength in our weakness, hope in place of doubting, peace in the place of fear. And sometimes we're cast down, but in him we're never defeated. Sometimes we are stretched beyond our capabilities when circumstances demand. And we go beyond our strength and experience, but in that we meet him there. In teaching and parenting and serving, his wisdom provides for us, and in his care we are sustained. Through his working of his Spirit, I'm encouraged and built up, and I'm amazed at what he brings to pass. In just a moment, we're going to sing our invitation song. God bless you, and thank you for your patience and your attendance this morning, and for your focus. The message is that God has taken away our burdens, but sometimes we take them back on. Let's give them back to him. Let's let him be sovereign in this. And let's give him praise for all the wonderful things that he does. May he bless you and sustain you today. And will you come while we sing our invitation song?